Yeah, hopefully this might be Brian on the other end of the line, and we'll see if it is now. Let's just swing him in. Hello, Brian.
Hello, how are you?
I'm okay, sir. Thank you for coming on tonight. I hear you're, from what you said earlier on, you're cooking tonight?
Yes, yeah, I'm just dealing with my last burger, because we're wet and it's horrible down here at the Havens. But the only thing that is cheering us up at the moment is our young under-18s are currently 5-1 up. So that's warmed us up a bit, but it's not a very nice night, to be honest.
So you're a man of many talents, then?
At a club like ours, I'm sure it's the same at many, many clubs, you have to be. You have to be prepared to put your name on the line to many, many jobs.
Yeah, and
as long as we still keep enjoying it, that's the main thing.
And that's it, and that's exactly what we've just been saying here. We've just been saying that in the studio about unsung heroes and people sort of, you know, doing jobs here, doing jobs there, and other people sort of like coming in and doing an unpaid job and then getting involved with a club, and then all of a sudden the family comes along and so forth, and before we know what's going on, you've got another sort of 5 or 6 people involved in the club because, you know, they love it so much.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. We've been relying on probably half a dozen stalwarts for the last 15 years that have got us, you know, out of intermediate football into senior football and through to where we are today. And those same half a dozen individuals still play a very active role in making sure the club rolls on. But if you looked at the ratio between those half a dozen people and the amount of players that have come through the doors in that period of time, it would be a frightening statistic.
Yeah. I mean, tell us a little bit then about your club down at Crawley Down Gatwick.
Well, we're very much a village-based club. There's lots of people that support us that still recognise that we were a village club playing in local district leagues at junior level. But majoring very much on junior and youth football. That's still a vibrant part of our club. We run sides from the tender age of 5 and 6 year olds that come up here to train every Saturday morning, right the way through the junior and youth ranks up to under 18, which is where we've got 2 sides at the moment. The one side that, as I say, is playing, probably the whistle and the shouts in the background, playing tonight in the Ryman under 18 league. We've also got an under 18 team that plays in the Sussex County under 18 league, and we're virgins at the under 21 level as well this year, and they're actually playing tonight out at Ramsgate, so they've had a long old trip out there tonight. And then we've got our senior side, which is now playing this is the third season at Ryman Division 1 South. But the rise, if we look at the first team in isolation, the rise through the county league ranks, we only entered the county league Division 3 league back in 1993. Having sort of come through from Division 7 of the local Mid-Sussex League, it's quite a meteoric rise. We had, as soon as we got into Division 3, which the Sussex County League, which was an intermediate level, we went up the first year as runners-up. We then, in the second division of the County League, we got into a runners-up position our first season at that, but due to the fact that our facilities didn't meet the ground grading at that time, i.e. no floodlights, we weren't able to take up a position at senior level in Division 1. We then took best part of 7 to 8 years to get various planning applications in and planning consent in for upgrading our facility, more or less coming up to sort of 2007 now. We then had the floodlets fitted, we had the walkway around the pitch, which we didn't have before, we had fencing to section off the ground from the rest of the pitches here at the Havens, and put ourselves in a position where we could go up into Division One. That was achieved in 2010. We spent two seasons in Division One. Our first year, I think we finished around about six. The second year, we won the league by 15 points in the end, so we were quite convincing winners. And at that time as well, we won two county cups. That brings us up to date, really, where we were in then past the ground grading criteria and got ourselves into the Ryman League, which is where we are now. And this current season has been a bit of a turmoil. We've, very unlike us, we've changed managers during the course of the season, which is something we've never done before. Simon Wormel, who joined us last summer, came in with a brief to push the side on and also run our youth setup. But unfortunately, he had to resign in November due to his partner's ill health. And since then, results have been very, very poor. And we're in a battle now to avoid relegation, which is focusing our attention beyond belief, as you can imagine.
Yeah, that was one of the questions I was going to ask, because I know when we first started doing the show, you know, I looked at the table, and you know, back in sort of August time and end of August, early September, and we were looking at the actual table, and of course you were up there sort of first, second, third, that sort of area, and then all of a sudden, you know, we sort of had a few North teams on, and we had a few Premier teams on, and then went sort of back to the South sort of team sort of a little bit later, and yeah. It was like, well, where Crawley, you know, when I was at home and I was sort of preparing for the show, and I was looking today, and it has been a really tough time for you.
It has. You know, we haven't won a game since November. You know, it sounds an awful long time, and in reality it is. Okay, you know, although it's beginning to feel like the end of the season, because we're approaching towards the end of March. But in reality, with the weather conditions we've had, and all clubs have been affected by it, we've still got something like, I think, about 12, 13 league games to go.
Yeah.
So it's in our own hands, and you know, we've just got to turn that corner. It's, you know, we've had really three starts this season. The original start, which was, as you say, very, very good, topping the league for the first couple of months, manager winning manager of the month award. We then had a caretaker manager situation, which rolled on for another dozen games. That, I think, only attracted one win. And we've turned now to the experience of Francis Vines, who's had a dozen games with virtually a new team again. And it's just taking time for this team to gel together. And along the way, they're taking some postings.
Yeah, so what's it? So you've had a big turnover of players. Is that what's causing the problems?
Yeah, I think, you know, there lies the modern-day story, really, doesn't it? I mean, players do have affinity and loyalty to managers more so than clubs nowadays. I get that. You know, I get that. That's the way it is. It wasn't like it in my day. But what's the good of going on about my day when, you know, it's what's in front of us now. That's what we're managing, is in my opinion, the modern-day player... wants to play for a successful team. If that team's in a club that he's happy with, fine. But if managers change, they tend to follow managers and coaches rather than, you know, put the loyalty into the club that's been here for a long time.
Yeah,
that's not a moan. You know, I get that. That's the way players are nowadays. But it does have a pretty poor effect on a club like ourselves, who work just as hard when we win to when we lose. And it's a bit disconcerting when you see players do that. You know, they do move along. And we know that nowadays, you know, the money word comes into it. It is a fact of life now at most levels and levels below us. Players look for expenses. And, you know, I also get that as well.
I suppose it must have been, I suppose we always ask people on the show, and we ask people on the show around about their trip, or if they've been on the trip already, you know, to Guernsey. But I don't suppose, I suppose you might be one of the only clubs, I might say, wasn't as enjoyable as it could have been.
No, I think, you know, it came smack in the middle of our change in management. It came at a time where, you know, we didn't moan about the fact that we were scheduled to play them on over the New Year period. You know, in fact, we welcomed it. We thought, well, that'll be different, won't it? Spend a New Year Eve or a New Year's Day in Guernsey. But then I think the sort of the nice parts of it, you know, what we looked forward to, culminated with us having a complete change around the team. Francis coming into a situation, Francis Vines, that is, coming into a situation where, you know, he didn't know any of the players. He had to bring some of his people in that he did know. But going out to Guernsey was a situation that then put us up at Gatwick Airport on New Year's Day with the plane that we wanted to get on. Delayed in getting out of Guernsey in the first place. And I think our players then had to suffer a six-hour delay. And personally, when they did arrive out there, it was straight from the airport to the ground and half an hour warm-up and get on with the game. And can you just hang on just a moment? This is real time now. I'm in the burger bar and I've got the last customer coming along. Hang on just a minute.
I'm just on the radio
with Romilly.
Can I
get
you some done? And are you in the changing room? Yeah. Oh,
Nick,
so you see a coffee in there? Yeah. Right,
just the kitchen.
Yeah.
There you go. Live radio.
And tea.
Lovely.
Yeah, just see Nick in there.
You don't get that on BBC. But you do hear on the Ryman Roundup show. And of course, we'll be back with Brian in a second. Just so you know, it's now Tilbury 0, Harlow Town 2. Second goal for Junior Dadson. It's Sittingbourne 2, Redhill 3 in their game tonight as well. And Thurrock have taken the lead against Heybridge. It's now 3-2 to Heybridge Swifts, to Thurrock in their game against Heybridge Swifts tonight.
That's a result we're eagerly watching the Redhill Sittingbourne game. They're 3-2 up, are they, Redhill?
Redhill 3-2 up. Yeah, Sittingbourne have just scored, so it's now 3-2. Yeah.
Okay. No, that's a result that's going to affect the bottom as well. So yeah, we've got an interest in that.
So
sorry about that.
That's right.
My last Mars bar.
Nothing like it. No problems with that whatsoever. So I mean, with the team itself, then is it a case of you know, just sort of a complete rebuild or a part rebuild? Is the manager himself, you know, is Francis sort of confident that you can get, you know, sort of get out of the situation you're in at the moment?
Yeah, there's still a good feeling that we can, you know, there's enough points on offer as such that we can do something about it. But you know, if we don't keep our eye focused on it, then the time will slip away and we'll be saying, you know, the dozen or so games we got left, we're down to two or three, and you're then in a situation where, you know, we could be possibly relying on others, which, you know, at the moment is in our hands. But, you know, we have to manage what's in front of us, and thank you for me, we're all doing our best to try and reverse the current situation, which is, you know, the league's worst. The form at the moment is the league's worst.
Yeah.
And we're shedding goals.
Which isn't great, yeah. Minus 46, yeah.
Well, just as a PS on the Guernsey story, when we got out there, the hospitality and the way they looked after us was superb. I can't speak highly enough of them. You know, okay, I think they had advantage over us in you know, they didn't have to suffer the travelling problems. But, you know, they're a good club, and I take my hat off to them that they're achieving.
Yeah, we were just talking to, believe it or not, we were talking to Matt Letizia earlier on. And, we had Matt on the show earlier on and by phone, and was talking to him about Guernsey, and was talking to him about the gentleman that must have been the scourge of you on that night in Ross Allen. And was talking to him about Ross, and he basically said he felt that, you know, he could even score goals at League One level.
Yeah, I think he could. I mean, you know, natural goal scorers, which he is, he'll score at any level. And I think Matt's right there. In fact, if you're speaking to Matt later on in the show, tell him we're planning to put a 7-day approach in for him.
we put that to him, actually. We said to him that our secretary said to me, Dave, he said, whatever you do, he said, ask him if we can buy him. He said, and basically, he said, when he comes down to Soccer Saturday every week, he can bring him with him. But he actually said, no, there's no chance here because there's quite a few people been for him, and he only wants to play for his hometown team. So,
well, why wouldn't he? I mean, you know, that's... Yeah, they're a little bit... I mean, I've been banging on about the lack of loyalty with players. I mean, they've got the reverse out there, but really it's very difficult for them to go anywhere else, isn't it? You
know? Well, that's what we were saying. We're saying, you know, they've got a bit of a cliche there where they can actually keep everybody that they've got and stuff like that. But we've just had an email coming from Adam Silver from Redbridge, and he's just telling me that they're winning 1-0 tonight down to an own goal, but it's far from a classic in front of a massive 26 in attendance.
Oh God! Our under-18 gate beat that tonight.
it just shows you. I mean, this is what another thing we've said about. I mean, I don't know. Does Crawley Gang Gap get used on a 24/7 basis? The actual ground itself?
No. I mean, it's the pitch itself. We would argue that it's overplayed. You know, with the fact that we've got senior team using it, under-21s and 2 under-18s. But, you know, we've got to, as football club ministers, we've really got to look at getting more out of our facilities. You know, the occupancy costs of grounds, whether you're lucky enough to own your ground or like us, where you're operating under a licensed agreement with a local authority, it's a bit bonkers, really, isn't it? We've got all this money invested in it, but we don't utilise it as a facility for things outside of football, and that's something that really does take my interest. And you know, I went down to the 3G for us seminar down at Mason a couple of weeks ago, and you know, looking at the model of what they've achieved with a few other clubs, that's the future. You know, they're using that facility 7 days a week down at Mason, and you know, they're reaping the rewards of it.
Yeah, I mean, and that is the case, and you know, I've said it many and many a time on the show, you know, that you've got a situation there where you've got you know, you've got people that you can get, so which is fantastic. But some good news for you: Sitting Bourne have just equalised. It's now 3-3.
Oh my God, for that! How long to go?
I think that was on about 90. I think that was on about 90 minutes. I think so. So it's not very long. Not very long to go. So yeah, it was. It was a Stephen Ocon, or something. His name is, and scored on the 90th minute. So
blowing the point.
So yeah, so it might only be a point and not the three. But I see you've actually got quite a few. Little teams as well in children's sides, all the way down from sort of under fives up to sort of under 15s.
Yeah, we're very proud of that. That's our roots, if you like. You know, I personally sort of started off playing in this village at the tender age of 14 when I moved here, so I'm going back to sort of mid late 60s, and it's always been vibrant as far as minor and junior and youth football. So that's our backbone, and we won't ever let go of that. But you know, that is our bit in the community, and you know, I think that follows through. If you look at our track record on that, you know, we operate very closely with the FA Charter standards in the community as our script, if you like. It's a very, you know, I'm a very proud man to sort of sit at the head of the table for that situation. And you know, I get as much enjoyment, I'll be honest with you, I get as much enjoyment on a Sunday morning when I walk up to the ground with my two dogs, and there's, you know, three games going on outside of our main pitch here. You know, you get teams that kick it off at 10 o'clock, and this time of year with the backlog of fixtures. Teams kick off at 12 o'clock and some at 2 o'clock. And to see all the parents and the mums, the granddads and the grandmums and, you know, uncles and aunts supporting the kids, it's a fantastic atmosphere. And, you know, I think that's the backbone of our club.
Yeah, it must be as well, because you've got that situation as well where you'll get, you know, you can get to a situation maybe then where you've actually bringing the players through from the, you know, from the youngsters, they're going through and they're coming all the way up through the ranks, and then you finally get to a stage where you can physically get hold of them and then put them into the, you know, put them into the first team, and then that way round, as such, they've got their sort of Crawley down Gatwick blood in them, if you know what I mean, and they're coming all the way through the system, and then they're actually finishing off in, you know, the odd one or two maybe end up finishing in the first team, and you've already got players there that you haven't physically then got to possibly even go out and actually look for.
That's right, and that's the main plan. I have to say that we've got, you know, lots and lots of academies around us that do tend to muddy the water, in my opinion, a little bit, and I'm not being critical of our professional colleagues, but we're in, you know, we're in a sort of a good catchment area for South London clubs, and of course we've got 20 miles down the road, we've got Brighton Hove Albion with a superb facility down there, and their academy is very buoyant. So,